We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I want to just recap a little. We talked about the Holy Spirit being a GPS who recalculates, convicts, and steers every area of our lives. We talked about what Pentecost means and how the three main feasts of the Old Testament are fulfilled and apply to us today. We talked about what baptism actually means and how Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit want us to experience all three baptisms, which was something some people didn't realize. And then we talked about how the Holy Spirit desires to pour out his power on all ages. And then last week we God prophesied over us that there's an accelerated download of God and the Holy, of what God and the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And he wants to help us to see new horizons and sing new songs. And then finally, we talked about how the Holy Spirit wants to live in us and transform us to equip us to reach those around us. That is a mouthful. And today, I just simply just want to speak on the subject of the gift of tongues. And would you read with me in the Acts chapter 2? It's also going to be on the screen. But this is the very first time that you see in the Bible that this gift was poured out. And not the first time it's talked about, the first time it was poured out. And it says this. It's a very well-known verse, but I'm going to shed some light on it. When the day of Pentecost came, simply meaning 50 days after Passover is a celebration. It was a holiday. Had nothing to do with, we call ourselves a Pentecostal church, but Pentecost simply just meant 50. It meant 50 days after Passover. When Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Not three places, but in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. As a kid, I always pictured this, and I tried to, and we would actually show pictures in Sunday school of this. And really, what it means, I believe, is that tongues of fire just means languages sat on each of them, almost like a language just came and sat on different people in the room. And they saw what seemed, and all of them separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one had heard their own language being spoken. This was this all people from all different nations, and it's going to list them in a minute. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these people, they're Galileans, they all speak one language. How come they're speaking all different languages? Then how it is that each of us hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and it goes on and on. Elamites, let's go all the way to verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. The Greek word is glossolalia, just meaning many languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Would you pray with me? Lord, we're just so thankful for our remaining time together today. And I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us understand the things, the mysteries that that you want to speak to us. And Lord, let us have a new understanding, not only a new understanding, but a new anointing to proclaim your word in this world that we live in, that we could be your voices. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I remember the very, not the first time, but one of the first times I saw God just pour out his spirit on a group of kids. It was a group of children, and they began to speak in tongues. And it was one of these moments where I just can't believe it happened. I was in a room with probably about 40 kids, and it was probably some of your, maybe even your kids. I don't remember how old they were at the time. It was in a church called Florence Avenue, and I had told the kids, today we're going to start a series. That's not the kids that care about a series or want to hear about a series, but I said, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And over the next 6 weeks, I want to explain to you who he is, right? And I said, who in the room is open to just to being open to what the Holy Spirit has for you? And all 50 of them stood right up next to me. We didn't have a stage, but they were standing right up next to me or surrounding me. And I said, oh, well, that's great. They were 10, 11, 8-year-old kids, right? And I said, go sit down. I want to explain. I'm not saying I want you to come up here. I'm saying I want you to purpose. I was trying to explain it to them in their language, and they still had no idea what I was saying. But I said, I want you to purpose that these next few weeks you would make it a point to listen to God, because he's going to speak to you if you're open to the Holy Spirit. And I said, who wants to do that? Because not all of you are going to be open to this, because I understand that different ones of you don't under, and all 50 of them came right up and surrounded me again. And in that moment, now you can teach all you want, you can read scriptures all you want, and I will, I'll share many things, but experiences, you can't get past an experience. And I'm a normal person. I'm not a weird person. I'm not a lunatic. I'm certainly not a liar. And I speak the truth. This is what I saw happen in that room, in that moment. I didn't take a long time. It was about 10 seconds. They came up and I said, okay, well, that's great. It was as if a hole opened in the ceiling of this kid's room at a church on a Wednesday night. And even though the Holy Spirit was already there, obviously, God was with us, the Holy Spirit was leading, he just opened like a portal of power, and this just shot into the room, and I screamed out. I tried to be so careful with kids, not to scare them, or just be very careful, and I said, he's here! God is here! God is here! Move the chairs. Everyone, move the chairs out of the way. We need to make room for God. I was not trying to build it up in my head. I wasn't trying to work it up. I was excited, and I was beside myself. And I said to the leaders that were there, there was about 10 of them, I said, get ready. God is here. God is. And I was thinking, when I was saying get ready, I was thinking, I don't even know if they know what's going on. I don't know if they know the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I knew he was in the room. And immediately kids started screaming worship to Jesus. Not kids that had been in discipleship classes for weeks and weeks to teach them how to raise your hands and worship Jesus and what to say. They just started worshiping Jesus. And I was beside myself, and they were singing out praises. Oh, God, we love you. And tears streaming down their face. I'm sure they had no idea what was going on either. And then they started speaking in tongues. And I was trying to go back. Did I explain this yet? Did I say anything about this? Our church wasn't even one of those kind of churches that where they would have learned it anywhere else. It just happened. And I told my wife, I said, Cynthia, she's probably in kids ministers right now. I said, go home to our house. It was about a block away. You get our video camera and you bring it back here. Back in the days before you had phones, and you start filming this. And I have an hour of footage of these kids screaming, yelling, not in a scary way, but just in a precious, passionate way, I love you, Jesus, and speaking in different languages. Now, I know that in the Bible it says that there were lots of people in town, and they understood what was going on. They understood, oh, that's my language. That night, we didn't have a lot of people in town recognizing the languages. I don't know what they were speaking. The Bible says that he gives languages to all of us. Sometimes it's a language that maybe there's 6,000 languages in the world, so we don't know what they are. But it is a heavenly language for us to speak to God. And that was one of my most amazing experiences with that gift in particular. And someone might ask at this point, why would you bother to speak about, in a Sunday morning service, speak about the gift of tongues? Because it is so, everyone's all over the place. And I believe it's because they just don't understand, or it's just not simplified so you can figure it out. But why would you bother speaking about tongues? I believe that the devil uses dogma on both sides of the issue to try to keep us from bothering with talking about this subject. But I believe 1,000,000% that this truth must be, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We must, at appropriate times in church life, talk about this so that people understand, because it can be such a powerful gift in our lives. It can change our personal worship. It can change our private prayer. And I will continue to bother talking about things like this, because God, sorry, I look like a mean and I want to smile. I need to smile. I'm just passionate. God wants us, my brother, Mike Larson back there, God wants you to live in his fullness. I meet so many Christians, and I've said this many times, that are boring. So boring. Their life is so boring. You say, share with me a story, a testimony of what God's doing, and it becomes a testimony, because it's like nothing is happening in their life. They just, I went to work today, bless God, and I trust that the Lord will lead me, and I went home and I went to bed. And that's about all they have to say. And I say, what did God do through you today? How did he use you? What did God speak to you in your prayer time? Well, I prayed that I would have a safe traveling mercies to work and back, and he gave me them, bless God. And I am not making fun at all of certain times in our lives, certain seasons when we first meet God and we don't have a lot more to say. But the Bible says, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. I was talking to a young man this week who he's not here. He's about 20 years old. And he said, you know, until I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was so bored with my Christian walk. And I said, yes, amen. I know that there is more for us. And I want to just read, there's not many places in the Bible to talk about speaking in tongues. We've talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit, but speaking in tongues, there's just a few places. And I want to share just a very clear reason what it's for. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 through 5. Let me clarify. Living in the fullness of God, living abundant life, does not have to include speaking in tongues. For the most part, I would say that. It does include that you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptized, as we've talked about, means what? Completely immersed. You must be like a glass of water, not that is half full, not that it is whole full, but that is completely spilling over. And then you take that water and you put it into a big pot of water that is already full, and it drops to the bottom and you're soaked all around. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must have that to have fullness. But part of walking in his fullness is the gift of tongues. It can be an amazing part of your life. And it says this, for anyone who speaks in a tongue, because this was in the Corinthian church, Acts 2 had happened, people had received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people were speaking in tongues, and he needed to clarify, because there were some people there that weren't as smart as us, and we're all smart, so we know everything, but This is what he said to them. For if anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Do you hear that? You speak in tongues. You're not speaking to people. You would never go up to someone and start speaking in tongues at them. It would scare them. Or maybe it wouldn't scare them. It would discredit the Holy Spirit. And it says the speaking in tongues does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. When I speak in tongues, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues at age 8. I don't ever know what I'm saying, but I feel like God knows what I'm saying, and I utter mysteries to him. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You're going to notice that he is making a point to the people. Not, oh, don't speak in tongues. He's making a point. When you're at church or when you're with a group and you're in public, that tongues is for you. But if you want someone to be ministered to, you need to speak in English or speak in your language so they can understand. That's called prophecy. And he says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies, I went back to verse 3. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You saw a very real demonstration of prophecy right up here as we were praying over our graduates, that it encourages, and everyone understood what we were doing, everyone knew what we were saying, and it brought them comfort and encouragement. Verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue, they will edify themselves. If you are here today and you are discouraged or you are depressed or you are suicidal, which I believe that could be, you need the gift of tongues in your life, because when you have this gift, it edifies yourself. Verse 5, I would like, here he lays it right out for them, Paul. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but if I would rather have you prophesy. If you're going to be at church, I want you to prophesy over people, all right? Notice, it doesn't say, I don't want you to speak in tongues. Prophesy instead. He says, I want you to do both. Just use them in the right context. Speaking in tongues is not a hard, confusing thing to study in the Bible. For the most part, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14. I mean, you read those three, You got the understanding you need, are the only chapters where instruction is given on this. But I want to explain just simply to you what it said right there, how it applies in the church. Notice it's not the greatest gift. It's not a required gift. Not everyone receives the gift. There's many gifts. We're going to talk about them a different week, but you know, there's the gift of being a shepherd. There's a gift of hospitality. There's the gift of discernment. There's all these gifts. Not everyone has every one of those gifts. Some of us have hardly any of them. I believe that there is a gift in all of us. Sometimes we just got to realize that it's there and let it come out. The Bible says that the water is inside of us and it flows out like a river of running water. But just as everyone doesn't have every gift, some don't have the gift of tongues. The Bible is very clear that it's not for public encouragement. If you read farther in that 1 Corinthians, it says, unless it's interpreted. Now, in my church growing up, I don't know what you grew up with. I really don't know your backgrounds, and I'm watching you all, and this is what some of you are doing. Right? I don't know what your background is, but for me, I remember sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, they would get up every week and share a gift of tongues. They would do it, and sometimes it would be interpreted. And it would be like, oh, wow, how did that person know what they said? You know, someone says, the Lord would say to us, right after the tongues, they would say it. But then there would just be the gift of tongues, and they would do it really loud, and it seemed to be really embarrassing, because it would be every time the week that my friend would come to church, and they'd be like, oh, my gosh, right? And but the Bible is very clear. It says don't do it in front of people unless it is interpreted. But that doesn't negate the power available for our personal edification and our personal prayer, our personal worship. Let me give you an example. Just this week, my wife Cynthia, we had a little bit of a scare. Every lady gets a mammogram, you know, around 40 years old, and her mammogram, you never want to hear this, but they said, well, we found something, and we're not sure what it is. So they did the mammogram again to make sure, and then they said, we need to do something immediately to see more about it. And some of you have had this happen, but I have never had this happen. I've never had a mammogram myself, and I don't know. I believe Cynthia has, but I don't remember this has ever happened. They brought us in a different room, or they brought her in a different room, and then she texted me, and she told me this was happening because I was somewhere else, and I rushed over to the hospital, and on my way, I didn't know what to pray. I didn't want to pray, oh, God, heal, whatever. I didn't know what to pray. In this moment, this is when I needed the gift of tongues, because my mind was unfruitful at this point. It was mush. It was, what is going on here? Oh, God, I don't know. And I just began to pray in tongues. And it was something, I'd already received the gift of tongues a long time ago. It wasn't like God, give me the gift of tongues so I can pray in a heavenly language to you. Once it's there, it's a language that's there. You can speak it at any time. And I, forgive me if I get too trivial or elementary in my explanation, but some people don't understand that. I began to pray, and then they did a sonogram. They said they needed to do a sonogram to see what this was. And I was just really scared to death, just like we all can be at times. And the fear had gripped me. As I began to pray in tongues, I felt nothing else than spiritual edification. I felt encouraged in my spirit that God is in control, that God is working. I don't know what I was saying, but apparently I must have been saying something like, oh God, you are greater than this. I do not need to let this get a hold of me. I will trust in you. Because when I got to the hospital, I was full of courage. And then I wasn't able to go back to the sonogram because she was already in there, and it seemed like forever. And when she came out, she had a big smile on her face, and I was so thankful. And I thought I wasn't fearful, and then right then I began to just cry because I was so happy that God had worked there. And that is an example of where I used the gift of tongues even just this week. It's interesting that one of the most the first times that Jesus was sending out his disciples to work under the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, cast out demons. He says, raise the dead. He just says all these things. But he also says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 through 18, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We forget that that was a sign already then he was prophesying would happen. So Jesus had prophesied, as the Holy Spirit leads you, you will speak in new tongues. The Father intended this to be. The Holy Spirit enabled it, and then the church received it the first time, and then all through the book of Acts, it talks about different times that people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and almost every time, actually, in those points, that they spoke in tongues. I would ask a question that maybe someone would ask in the room today, and maybe you wouldn't, maybe you already passed this, but I cannot see that clock for the life of me, so I'm just going to look at your clock. I hope you're not texting your friend. Okay. We'll be closing in just a couple of minutes, just a few minutes. I'm going to say 7 minutes. Okay. But I want to just ask a couple questions. How do we receive the gift of tongues? I found that instead of focusing, I found that the church sometimes will err on the side of focusing too much on tongues. Sometimes they don't focus enough on it, but it gives people a complex. Well, I'm trying to receive this gift, but I don't know how to. I'm trying. Where's it at? You know. And instead of focusing on tongues as a burden that I have to get, a better focus is to look at tongues as a benefit available to those who are open to Jesus, Jesus is called the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I think the Bible is very clear that the goal of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is not so that you can speak in tongues. The gift is so that we can be equipped to minister to people. But wholeheartedly, it doesn't say that's the most important gift. You know what it says? The most important gift that you should search for, seek after, eagerly desire is the gift of love. That is even greater than any of them. It says, if I speak in tongues of men, which that's what I'm doing right now, and of angels, which is speaking in tongues, but have not love, you might as well just forget it, because you are like a, thank you. Everyone knows it. Sounding gong. You remember that? You're like a sound. You're like something, a noise that is not worth listening to, is basically what it says. If you don't have love. When we stop feeling pressured with the burden of getting tongues as a proof, or maybe I think I might have received that gift when I was young, but I don't know if I still have it. I don't practice it. I think I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. If you're in that burden, I would say to you, and this is not my words. This was advice from Jack Hayford. So you better be listening. If you know who Jack Hayford is, he knows his stuff. And he says this. When we stop feeling pressure with the burden of getting tongues as a proof and just seek Jesus for all the fullness of blessing he offers, I have found, this is Jack Hayford speaking, I have found that it manifests more easily. Can I just say it like this? It's more healthy to shift your focus from getting a gift to worshiping Jesus. Worshiping Jesus, it's a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. The more you have Jesus in your life, the more the presence of God will be with you. The more the Holy Spirit will flow, the more the gifts will flow. I've heard testimonies that as people do that and seeking more of just Jesus' love and his grace, that they'll be just singing on their own in their car or maybe in the shower or just praying in their private time with God. And then out of nowhere, they sense an utterance. They sense a word. They sense a few words. They sense, is there a new language that you are giving me? As they open their mouth, not that it possesses them, and they begin to speak possessed in a, no, they, you'll hear something. You'll sense it in your spirit, and it'll seem like foolishness. I remember even though it was so long ago for me, the first time the word I received, I felt like I don't know what I'm saying, and then it began to take over in a way, but it wasn't without my control. And as I began to just worship Jesus, it just began to flow out. And I find that as I grow in Jesus, I feel like the language kind of grows too. I feel like I have other words. I feel like the more I pray, the more I feel like I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds, I'm just trying to let you understand what I feel inside, that I'll get a new word and I'll speak it and God works through it. I would say that if you ask, is the gift of tongues proof that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Many churches will really preach that really hard. And I wouldn't want to say that to you. I would say that being baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit is, you will definitely see proof of that in your life. And Jared, would you come up and play? And I appreciate you being here and doing this. But I think often when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, when God just kind of fills you with more of him, that it's the case of what you see in Scripture, that the tongues, people speak in tongues. But that doesn't always happen. And I would tell you, don't be discouraged if that's been your case, because that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you and that he's not pouring out his Spirit on you. You just seek him and you just watch as he fills you more and more. I do know that eagerly desiring spiritual gifts is important. We can't just, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it'll happen for me, maybe it won't. But I do know that you must seek him. But I do know that our Father God is a loving God. He's a good God. And it asks, it says in the Bible, if your kid asked you for something, would you give them something else instead? No. You would give them what they asked. How much more is your Heavenly Father in heaven a giver of good gifts? He is perfect. He is perfect. Would you stand with me today? Some of you are nervous or worried. Are you going to make me? Are you going to make me speak in tongues? Are you going to do that to me today? I feel that the modern church is confused at times how it happens in our lives. I know that in the old days, in the Bible days, it took 40 days or something like that, right? They just sat in this room and they tarried. Oh, God, right? Nothing wrong with spending time in the presence of God. In fact, it should be a requirement. If you want the fullness of God, you spend a lot of time in God's presence worshiping. And we're going to give lots of opportunities for that. Now that we have this building, we can be here all the time. We already have a worship night plan. We have a Holy Spirit night plan. It's going to be exciting, isn't it? I was talking to Randy this week about it. And to give opportunity for those things to happen in small groups and things like that. We're going to do those things in this church. It's going to be exciting. But it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm trying, I'm tearing. At the first time that the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was a long time. But then the Holy Spirit came and He was here. And I would invite you to, if I don't know where you're at in your seeking of spiritual gifts. I don't know where you're at in the seeking of tongues. But I would invite you to free yourself from a doctrine, from a church requirement, from a religious thing, to just seek more of Jesus in your personal walk. And watch your spiritual, your personal worship to Him and your spiritual prayers, watch them become more powerful. It's not by accident. I believe that the very first time the Holy Spirit was poured out and they spoke in tongues, that it was a gift. What is the gift for? Mainly for power to pray. And when the church was invented, when the church was birthed, that was the very first gift that God said, oh, you're going to need this. I'm going to give this to you, a power to pray. All of us need more power to pray, don't we? Would you just take a moment right now, and we're just going to talk to Jesus. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' name. Jesus, we know that you are here in this room. Holy Spirit, we know that you are here in this room. And although there are so many things that can be said about the gifts and the gift of tongues, things, what not to do, what to look for, all these kind of things. I have a list of things I would love to get to. I just don't have time to today. That we would always be a people who seek your face, who seek your presence. And I'm going to do something right now, and just an introduction maybe to some of you for speaking in tongues. Would you take a moment, if you are open and you are saying, God, I am not completely sure what I believe about this. I do know what the Bible says, but I'm not sure. I want to be open to the gift of tongues in my life. Would you just let Him know that right now? Just take a moment and say, God, I want to go on a journey doing this. If it happens in 1 second, or if it happens in 1 hour, or if it happens in 1 week, Lord, I am open. I am open to another language, a heavenly language that you have for me. There are others in here that would say, at one point in my life, I believe that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I don't feel like I walk in that fullness that you are talking about. Do you know how easy it is to walk in that fullness? Ask. Ask your Father God. God, I know you love me. We covered that already today. I know you love me so much. You have a reckless love for me. I know you love me. Let me sense more of you in my life. The Bible is very clear that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but then it also says they were filled. They were filled, and the word is continued to be filled. Continue to be filled over and over. You cannot make it through a week without getting more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you take a moment? Just we're going to take about 3 minutes. And you just say, Jesus, I need more of you. More of your Holy Spirit in my life. I need more of your power. More of you, Jesus. If that's you, would you just lift your hands, stretch them way up high. You're proud to ask, God, I need more. You're not afraid to say, oh, God, I trust you. It's a point of faith where you say, I raise my hands and I say, I trust you. I need more of you. More of your love, more of your fruit in my life, more of your gifts in my life. And I ask, Father God, that you would give good gifts to your children and that we would not be preoccupied with this or that, that we grieve your Holy Spirit, that we would not have too much sin. I pray that we would get rid of the sin that could get in the way of us seeking after you. In Jesus' name, we love you. I'm going to do this right now. Put your hands down. Before we close today, there is a paramount issue with having more of the Holy Spirit in your life, and this is it. Promise I'm done after this. So important that you say, well, I feel like I'm not released to walk in the power of the Spirit. There is a scripture that says, our dear Father God is three things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit personality of the Godhead is sensitive. He is sensitive, not offended. He's not easily offended, but he is sensitive. Are you listening? He knows where you're at. Jesus knows, Father God knows where you're at. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you've been doing, exactly what you're thinking, exactly what's inside your heart. And it says, be careful. Be careful. Paul said, be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. What that simply means is, he's here. You sin, he's not really here. He stepped a little bit away from you because he's waiting for you to walk in godliness, walk in righteousness. He will help you to walk in righteousness. He will convict you when you don't, and he will encourage you when you do. But if you are careful, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit, and he won't be able to do anything. And so I'm going to take a moment right now. This is a very private moment, and you'd probably rather me not do this, but I'm going to do it. Would you bow your heads with me just for a minute? Nobody looking around. And you would say today, you know what? I feel like maybe I'm not sure where I stand with the Holy Spirit. Is he upset? Is he grieved? He's not upset, but he could be grieved. And I feel like I don't walk in the fullness. And maybe there's a sin there that I need to just mention to you, Father. I need to repent of this. And watch freedom come into that area. Watch freedom come into that area. If you're here today and you have an area like that, that you need to just say, yes, that's me. Just raise your hand and put it right back down again. Yes, I need this. Yes, I need this. Yes, I need this. Amen. Amen. And trust me, you could talk to Father God yourself right now. You tell him. If you have your eyes closed in this room, you don't have to raise your hand to me, but you acknowledge, Father God, I need your forgiveness. Please help me to get out of this sin, this habitual sin, this thing. Please let it not be a part of my life. I want to walk in your fullness and I want to walk in your forgiveness. Would you say this with me today, everyone together? Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your fullness of your Holy Spirit. I ask that you completely forgive me of all of my sins. I ask that I walk in righteousness. Lord, I ask that you give me strength to walk in righteousness. Ask him. And Heavenly Father, I ask that your Son, Jesus, would baptize me in more of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.